these bidding for the time of the year called the spring. The rain, drowning on and soaking wet, driving through like steel pins, desolating the heart, fracturing the thought paradigm into shards of mirrored lost, dripping opaque droplets of tears cried by angels. Yet light shines throughout, isolating the tears and bringing an enchanting joy to the snowdrop spring, as if heaven spoke thought, enlightening the hearts of youth and the spellbound wonder. Broke down the miser into seraphic mischief, magical and minor youth. Even the harsh minds of elders distraught cannot daunt the hearts of newborn spring, of gentle whispers of trickle streams, of breathic tales and daffodil scent. Nothing can desolate this beauty. Enchanting forest leaps, reflecting randomly green spirits dancing upon heartbeats, speaking winds subtle, the perfume soft of damp moss and tranquil light. The bright days of your crystal eyes mysterious, as you cast breath in voice, a song sung in praise, harmonizing the fur tones of dawn and dusk, the new light dancing upon winter shadows, and my heart lightens after winter sorrow.
And I hear her melody song. Thanks, Jordan. Good to see you back. Next up, gee, there's everything that's more and more important. The British thing, and there. Except the A and the L. It has to be on the
Well, it's great stuff from Raven, then, Raven.
Just to confuse everyone.
But I really enjoyed that reading. These are the two short points about music. So the first one is about Bach's solo partita, a sonatas for violin, which is probably my favourite piece of classical music. It's beautiful. It's the solo violin, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So this is the point. The music soaks through my brain like beautiful summer rain. The thrill of notes sloping this way and that, to Bach I take off my hat. His partitas invigor me still, and stillness echoes about the violin, and after the music ends, the silence to beauty tends. Yeah. Thanks. And the second one is called Love Time. She does not walk or talk, her brain is rotting, but when music plays she smiles and sings the tune and proves that old age does not always completely savage us, but may save some magical things, and love can shine through a rotting brain.
Now, if you keep going this way, I'll give you an epic at the end of the line. 16 minutes. Next up to the open mic, Mr. Joe Sweeney.
Good evening, everyone. A little bit of song, a little satire. Ladies and gentlemen, there's trouble in River City. We all know this. Trouble in health, patients on trolleys everywhere and in transport, chaotic traffic jams on the M50s and all over the place. And I think it behoves all creative people like ourselves to put our heads together and try to come up with a solution to help our ailing government. So I've been hard at work grinding the midnight oil, and I have come up with a great plan which will require cooperation across two government departments. The Minister for Education, Mary Harney, has spoken of introducing centres of excellence to help with our health services. My suggestion for a centre par excellence is Croke Park. Here's the plan. Mary Harney sends in squads into hospitals all around the country, and they round up the malingerers from the various wards. operating theatres, and those on trolleys in the corridors. Those genuinely ill, of course, are close to death and to be left alone. So having located all the charlatans who aren't really sick, but only pretending to be to annoy Mary, people with sprained ankles or dicey hips, people who are not at all terminal, people with a pain here and there, or people, children who are obese, etc. These are all to be brought to the new great national central arena for health and recovery, namely Crow Park. Now just think of Ben Hawk and the chariot race in the Circus Maximus. Here Mary, the ring mistress, stands in the centre of the arena with her ringmaster's hat and cracking her whip. She will keep everyone moving around the arena, whether on foot or trolley, until their ankles and hips show some improvement, until the obese begin to lose weight, until the sick are willing to get off their trolleys and stop pretending, or die. Now, this is just the first stage of my proposal. The next will involve the Minister for Transport and will help ease the stress and congestion on the infamous M50. It will require Ryanair to open a new route and to draft in a fleet of helicopters. Ryanair are always opening new routes to exotic destinations, so it's about time they started helping out at home. So over to the M50, where, as we know, there are traffic jams of 6 and 7 hours. All the people there are to be immediately transported by helicopter over to Crow Park. Of course, this will leave a lot of cars stationary on the M50 for a few hours, but this is what happens anyway on an ordinary day, so there'll be no disimprovement. Ryanair will be well able to get everyone back within 3, 4, 7 hours, whatever. Now, the role of these M50 people in Crow Park is crucial. It will simply be to applaud whenever Mary effects another miraculous cure, and the lame walk, when hips spontaneously heal themselves, that kind of thing. They will all rise with their hands in the air and say, "Hail Mary!" Now, Irish people won't find this difficult to do. We've been practicing this form of address for years. And we need to applaud for this little achievement. It will be a great boost to national morale. So the only thing that needs to be settled is a name for this centre par excellence, this new Irish arena of health and spontaneous recovery. The answer is obvious. There are no chariots or lions, and I fear not too many Christians left in this modern arena, but I think there is only one name that is appropriate, Circus Miriam. And let's face it, finally, the worst that can happen is that some of the ill may die if they are pushed too hard. But Mary is willing to risk this. Doctors and nurses can be kept on the sidelines, and in any case, if someone does croak, all I can say is that what better place to do it than in Croak.
Hail Mary. Thank you, Jerry. Next up, Mr. Jerry O'Neill. Jerry?
Irishman, a warning plea from me about this crisis that we face from o'er the foreign seas. Our country's being invaded, they're coming now in scores. It's time to cry enough, enough, we won't take any more. So come all you concerned residents and join our merry band. We'll beat the drum and raise a hum, and we'll make a mighty stand. There's 40 headed for our town, 5 multiplied by 8. We'll mount a constant vigil and we'll turn them at the gate. They say they flee oppression, but they're just here for the crack. We'll pack them in containers and we'll send them floating back. They're coming for the welfare, for our women and the beer. We don't care, they can go elsewhere, for they're not a welcome here. For 'tis well known what they're all like, they're thieves and beggars too. They beat their wives and they fight with knives, and they don't sing toodaloo. They eat strange food and they act most rude, they're hard to understand. It's time to stop this foreign plague infecting our fair land. For God knows what they carry from their home place overseas. Porn and drugs and ditchy bugs and tropical disease. The men are hung like donkeys, they only think of sex. Seducing virgins is their game, perhaps your daughter's next. For we're all Christian Irishmen, we never begged nor stole. We always paid our taxes and we never drew the dole. It was us that built America and the English motorways. The Suez Canal, the Taj Mahal, and the lofty Himalayas. We civilized the pagan Scots and the German tribes also. Now they love to see the Irish in every land we go. They're all off the mat saying, hello Pat, it's great to see you dear. Now take a seat, have a bite to eat, you're always welcome here. Now come all you true Americans, a warning take from me about this crisis that we face from over the foreign sea. The Irish are invading us, their ships come now in scores. It's time to cry enough's enough, we won't take any more. They say, so come all you loyal patriots and be prepared to fight. Take heed for great America, pure Protestant and white. No, we don't want the Irish, we'll stop them in their tracks. We'll pack them in their coffin ships and send them floating back. They say they flee from famine, but we know that's only lies. And the reason that they're hungry is they all breed just like flies. The stupid mix, they act out thick and they smell of old the stale beer. We don't care, they can go elsewhere, for they're not a welcome here. But it's well known that the Irish are their idle, speckless rogues. They fight with sticks and they fight with bricks, and they speak with a funny brogue. They pray and beat to a pagan creed of Romanish belief. Their place is superstition and of parasitic priest. The children, they go hungry while the father's drunk in bed. In place of food, the money goes on the demon drink instead. They spend their time with beer and wine and rot-gut whiskey too, and they dance all night to the wail of pipes while they all sing toodaloo. So listen, Mr. Counselor, you are an Irish rogue, a stupid mick and you're exotic, you speak with a funny brogue. Says the likes of you give the rest of us a bad name overseas. So you're the last one to be giving out about the refugees. For what you say of the refugees has all been said before. About our very kith and kin when knocking on the door. No dogs, no blacks, no Irish. The signs were very clear. We don't care, you can go elsewhere, for you're not welcome here. So come all you concerned residents and join our merry band. Before this all gets out of hand, it's time to make a stand and to say to those who propagate blind prejudice and fear, we don't care, you can go elsewhere, for you're not welcome here. Come on.
the core sense of irony is so fine that it's very easy to take them literally, you know? Thank God for the first two there now. Next up from the mic, Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Raymond, for a wonderful show. The title of this poem is WLTN. It's anybody who scans the personalized means would like to meet in the abbreviation. I have a sucker for power of me, also for intelligence and a wayfarer's sense of condition. Weary of heavy fur coats and tiny knickers that aim higher than my own mistakes. Lifted boys stay in their homes. The email situation goes wearisome, and in search for further flesh. Or a fish with a coin in his mouth. Or please let him not shove his tongue down my throat as a manner of introduction. For the right ear always becomes me. And he who dares never wins. John 11. The next one is called Search Engine. The sense of herring, like Francis Moss, inhabits my sorrowing desk, being ready to love his own problems. The overhead light trying to come silently. The environment he saves, standing defenseless in his space technology. So irritated as of yet, as measured as a poker game, yet a flurry to the uneducated. Standing alone, mind overloaded, seeing things as they appear to the overdressed eye, eating with unwashed vision, believing the worst is true. Don't hold with time forward, or what happens, what falls through the daytime, or disappears and forged at night, toothless as you are, the sharper the pencil, the blunter the missile, even if they're only dead marks in the desk. Thank you.
Next up we have Mr. Miles Ferriero.
That was powerful, extraordinary poetry, then. Thank you very much. Fantastic. I hope I haven't read this one before. It's called Apocalypse.
You have.
Okay. I know you will, yeah. Apocalypse, no thanks. No? Okay. I didn't. Before I read it, I just want to preface it with two things. Two quotations. A well-known US preacher speaking on radio said, "You know, if we end up having to pull our troops out of Iraq, that means that their Allah is greater than our Jehovah." And the second quotation, an Al-Qaeda spokesman: "This is a jihad to make the word of Allah supreme in the world." "When will I bless the world," said God, "besieged by the battered human race? When each befuddled human clod stops fearing and hating the foreign faith. Have a heart, don't blame me," said God. "Your religions and isms are all a cod. Until you learn to let go of rage. You righteous are a pain," says God. "Grow up, people, and act your age. Give me a break, don't blame me," says God. "To beat your backs, you make the rod. Look within to meet the source. I am Jehovah Allah," says God. "Want apocalypse? Right on course. But count me out, don't blame me, she says. Beachcombers. The reek draped in a fleece, crisp winter day, I walk with friends and my buck-letting 9-year-old son, while waves wash on Bircher Beach, and we find dinosaur bones, speckled hen's eggs, Chinese writing, licorice of all sorts, saber-toothed tiger fangs, and the crown jewels amongst the pebbles on the shore. bird uncaged, before New Orleans, retrospectively. Jazz, black but universal, four-letter flurry from a New Orleans den, music in a hurry to grab solace now and then. Hear that old sax wail, a scream from wretched folk, a strange fruit hangs on a twisted southern oak, and hate bears its fang. Jazz, a language of protest, torn in bloody ragtime from the womb of despair. You can buy it for a dime, say it without a care. Voice of a stolen people, bittersweet whispered soft, in a brass-lined throat and friendly thrown aloft to reach the perfect note. Thrumming joy or pain, love child of the blues, jazz plucks the strings of hearts lifted by booze while a fat lady sings. Jazz trumpets carnival, music that feels good as sin, catharsis for all the sorrow, feeling black under the skin, living today, not tomorrow. And I'll just end up with a couple of haikus. Just little nature pieces. Reflections. I cheat here because I add little titles to the haiku. Dragonflies droning, united in love over water lily pads. Shihi Mountain haiku. Nearly sat on a grouse. Now that would be something for them to grouse about. Starry night haiku. Universe sings, listen, and we may hear us and join the chorus. I think I cheated there because I heard that thing. Feline family. Open the window, a river of cats flows in, pour them out again. Haiku. H-I-K-U. Cobwebs in my head, lightly feather dusted out by a long hill walk. And finally, dolphins in the bay. Surfing the bow waves, smiling that say, who are you calling bottlenose?
I was invited to subscribe to the day, and there was Niall Harriott today. So, invited to subscribe. Next up, we have next week's MC, Mr. Gene Barry.
Thanks, Raven. Won't repeat what everybody else did, but anyway. It's been his first poem. It's called Clowning, and it was inspired by Robert Weiss's book, The Blue Firm Like a Table. Clowning. Let the circus take you through the lines of a Leonard Cohen song, and let them gently push you along a blue formica table, and land you in between a salad of Sir Philip's dandelion, your painted face a Picasso of poetry. And in the spotlight may you swing on a pendulum of pleasure to the music of a child's teasing orchestra that will toss you into a wealth of smiling memories, the world of fathers, your safety net. Thank I read another father's one there, this is from my own father, Michal Barry. It's called Tactile Memories. Tactile Memories. How do I know your drive to run these teeth over the inviting dead? What torque to choose when indicating? And yet I rub the chiromantic map with unromantic oils and smooth each surface without dye. Dress the contrasted donors with shavings, toils, and blindly undressed in lonely, unhooked trances. Why do I hold this whistle in your cast hand, spear's index at the ready, with the open snuffbox and distracted thoughts, see to your nails, massage your waiting mound of Venus. Ungloved you gave to give me life, beyond our cast audience of DNA, I applaud you. Thank you. I don't know how many of you remember over in Pat Johnson's, this lady, Eileen Lauren, she was in her 70s and she came there three or four times. She came here twice, do you remember her?
Yeah.
This is a poem called After Trees, and this is for Eileen. Shirin the Dabby, the Nobel Peace Prize winner in 2003, she was
from Afghanistan. She said, the written word is the most powerful tool we have to protect ourselves, both from the tyrants of the day and from our own traditions. And that was an inspiration for the Sweden. It's called Apple Trees. She asked me, "Who are you?" Quick as a beggar would catch you after a few pints, and without a stir, her radar eyes were fixed and reeling. Jesus, I was lost. The man I was told me that she was an old lady with a plastic file that held nothing and nonsense and a little pen, until I peeped outside of history and saw her perched on a Persian rug, her toolbox full of useful words and rhymes of schemes and pleasures, of the little girl that carelessly laughed out loud as those eyes again had lit a smirk that said, "Sure, I only know you are." She got her retaliation at first and turned and sailed away to visit the orchard that was hers and doubled on the puck that was hers. "Did you like my poem last week? And how much do you think I should pay the fellow to cut my grass?" Puck at last again. "The one about the apple tree. Should I get the lawnmower fixed or get the fellow to cut the grass altogether?" The answer never reached 21 years. Thanks. Short one here called Logistics Experts. A fading slipstream dressed the horizon at the top of the yard, slowly falling its way with sad, pendulous faces, awkwardly adjusting to an empty load. They're unbonded, hidden closely, excited and nurtured by a latex tip, clueless. A line of pitiful sets of eyes following each other, menu after menu. Multinational cuisine, tailored as ever in shite and dust and grass. Lasagna, pot roast, Irish stew, steak. Muck appreciators, logistic experts. Production line authors wearily trudging their way to their shiny new number day. Thanks very much.
Next up, the lady who found the Zangers outside the Galway Town Council, City Council, about 3 years ago, the Quirk Festival. You can't remember that I got up at the Quirk Grand Town. Thank you very much. Burns.
Where am I? Now I'm no modern multimedia whore.
just a rickety van heading for the moon with a JPEG peg and a gigabyte byte and a D4 Mac and a Swift website and a tiny skinny latte and a porcelain face and a D4 address and a deal skin case with DVDs and MP3s, DVRs and PSPs. Mind your P's and Q's, Richie. The wheel is spun, the seats are free. Roll up, everyone, forget the stress, it's time for fun. P for portable, X for sex, Q for Q behind the rest. Stand in line and take the test, and you're the best. Are you the best? Your eyes are full and vacant too. Oh, Mr. Gates, what will we do? Hello, hello, is anyone in? The lights are on, the sizzling dim. Knock, 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 thump, thump, wham. You're spinning your coffee on my bang. Orders from Walkman, iPod, mobile phone. May I join you? Seem alone with your snappy flapper capper and the runny egg and the gaping of whip and the day pig pig. M-pig, J-pig, pig the leg. Sure you can join me, is what you said. With careful advice of my cardboard bread or my microchip that seems and has been if you want to disappear. Take my heart and take my head. I suppose you want to take me to bed. But no, 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 is what I said. I just want a normal coffee instead.
Nobody heard you, by the way.
Nobody heard me.
You have to talk louder next time. Really loud. Into the mic, check. First timer, next up, welcome, Mr. Kevin Hennessy.
Christmas keeps our consciences guilt free. We are friends to all the animals. Watch me hug this tree. The plight of our fellow humans is not of our concern. We reduce taxes on the wealthy. The poor can wait their turn. Socialism is a great evil, that which is a given, so long as we're paid our extra share and we achieve base goals for which we've striven. So plaster your skin with cosmetics, appearance is paramount. To deviate from the flock, to treason is tantamount. But I for one am content, as a prior of society. My opinions I must retain, I'll be your slave to piety. Alright, come on everyone. This is a bit depressing, so don't keep roasting your own hands. Can boredom cut you deeply enough to kill and clot and thwart the outflow of your heart? Refuse and smash self-preserving will. Thinking life much less banal at the start. Loneliness is the main catalyst of gloom. Glazed eyes across time and space far flung. Seeking greatest contrast from dark room. Showing ever clearer where I be hung. In defiance both of logic and myself, obsessive search for cure and novelty past. Letters, photos, books ripped down from shelf. Short rest by brain before melancholia grasps. Have times in your life been encapsulated, their emotions in another person's song? Hearing implies disenchantment infiltrated, or is hindsight through emotion simply wrong? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up we have Mr. Seamus Harrington.
I'd bring him home, Seamus, to be honest.
Great weather to be out of doors, and I dubbed this out, called Workout. Take a brisk walk in fresh air, skipping that extra pie, show your body you really care. Grab something loose to wear, get out and see that sky, take a brisk walk in fresh air, ignoring the driver's gridlock glare, as you jog breathing by, showing that body you really care. Earphones pressed in locks of hair, Let sleeping dogs still lie, take a brisk walk in fresh air. Shedding slab layer by layer, you'll not feel the least bit shy, showing that body you really care. Go ahead, embrace that dare, then you'll sense such a high. Take a brisk walk in fresh air, show your body you really care. The city, April the 18th, 1910. Out of New York, deep laden, she grounded close to Briar Island. Cash registers, 400 barrels of oysters, sewing machines, sacks of flour, 20,000, 234, CQ, we may need help, SOS, SOS, head of cattle, cases of tooth powder, typewriters, 67 passengers, CQ, help, SOS, SOS, 100 crew, one nervous pony, standby, Lizard Station, glucose, an ingot of copper, a creek dip of oars, pilot gig on the scene, everyone saved, Grim Reaper's hand stayed, that foggy Monday, so close to land's end. 3 weeks of jetsam, recovered, refloated, repaired to Southampton, repaired and made ship shape, 7 years of good luck, then out by the fastnet, the dreaded tin fish, then her to the bottom, Lord rest 43 souls on SS Mini. Highlights. They say that she flashed her green wire and brown. Her habit involved a short dressing gown. I think you've the gist. What she also missed, her current hairstylist appointment in town. The plea. Illegal or sparked from Black Rock, once puffed his way round the lock. The bench saved his life. He's texting the wife. I swear there's a hole in my sock. Thank you.
Subscribe to him, villain portrayed. After all, what will be will be. Was there need for any particular pointed finger when several already were fools and ready harbingers? Many had seen, had heard the speaker's masses. Soldiers could have a cameo being the savior arrested, as the preacher was not said himself to be at any time undercover and in hiding. Could not conceivably behind any mortal weakly coward. Had predicted the very hour for 3 days his soul to the high heavens return. So why heap the blame on this man his carrier? Could he prevent salvation's will for that faithful tenant? To those who feel today from this offering benefit, can we just thank him, facilitator that he was? Acclaim him an integral part of the ultimate deal. A bishop aspires to a king with eternal reign. His carrier. Conveniently, he carried our lot. Yet driven down through all history in a blazing, doomed, discredited chariot, his legacy unburied must cry aloud.
Don't label me a rebel, but this is the same game, the same thing. What would I profess?
It is thrust in my face, rammed down my throat. I'm told I have no choice. It was made before I came. Yet from animals, I'm told, free will distinguishes me.
Tradition itself, is it not over the years acquired?
Always was a point in time when it never was, before it came to be. Religion itself, is it not borrowed and adorned, a gift from our father's father? Then whither our foremost father, their ways before these days?
So truly, whose ways should we be following?
Where does ancestral legacy begin? Someone along the line made his choice, made his plan, some tradition clinically broke away, adopted a favored foreign mode, to pass the word, pass it on and on.
If I decide not to follow your footsteps,
just trying to find my way, then there must be for each a choice. Others made theirs long before the modern day.
Otherwise, idol worshippers will all still surely be,
mediated through countless self-created effigies.
We are all both.
It's my way, the only way. Can you really prevent me from being gay?
Thank you, Dean. Jeez, I don't know. Nigerian, gay, you know, I don't know, you know. We have to think twice about that one already. Okay, we're down to literally 5 minutes ahead. Which isn't too bad. 5 minutes? Do another poetry in 5 minutes. Mellow day.
Okay, before I start, I'm going to give an advertisement. I'm having an art exhibition in Middleton, 7 o'clock Wednesday, Thursday 21st, if you want to be there. It's going on for 2 weeks, if you want any information at the event. Okay, this one is called Iraq. I am an activist against what Bush has done to Iraq. Iraq. Shrapnel that splinters in one's body. The woman crying. Soldiers doing their ghost dancing through Baghdad. The image of a young male, hooded. His cry, unspecified. The enemy combatant that lurks in the haze of the soldier's imagination. Everywhere but nowhere. The sun-parched poster of Sudan, crisp, rustling as though demised in the raucous noise of gunshots, and the danger of the hospitals. To live or die, is there an option? The enemy combatant moves to his dance. The image in the imagination of the soldiers. The flowing robes of Bin Laden everywhere and yet nowhere. A 2-minute hate to justify what? The eyes of the child moving to each ghost moment, wondering where her father is. The soldier spitting out his gum and calling in a foreign language. The death of her father and 2 sons at a checkpoint. They couldn't understand English. He ran a small shop once, but that was the objective of a precision strike. The enemy combatant was lurking amongst the cans of beans and stuff, existing through the imagination of the soldiers. The enemy combatant, like some form of Hollywood creation, a matter of culture, a matter of dancing with a ghost that stalk out of the rip, moving through into some intoxicating swirl. The enemy combatant, in each dark corner, existing through some dream that didn't exist but was forced into existence. The imagination of the soldiers and the cry of 1,000 orphans. Iraq 2. The sun broke in my window like a thief, searching amongst my dreams for the meanings it wished to steal. I raised my hand to greet it, moved my fingers around it, sensed its pulse. The pulse had splintered into bursts on and began the moment of mourning. I moved slowly, examining the shreds of ideas that scattered themselves across the floor, the reflected sun shimmering through their interaction with the thoughts that slowly emerged out of the dust. They flickered like butterflies against the window, small wings that fluttered through the interface of beginnings. I reached for the history book that lay beside me on the table, moving through its pages, defining its birth and its forgetting, the distant king that moved through his kingdom, the searching faces of seeking a meaning to the giving birth to some form of revolution that cascades through society. Each question to a form of ethics. The silent bleeding of Baghdad. One hears it on the radio. Those distant voices seeking attention. The movie of children before the cameras. The existence that came through the seeking nothingness bears a meaning. That formed the cradle of its nihilism and bred it. Wrapping that nihilism around itself as some form of explanation. The soldier holds his gun like a baby. The crying of children at night. The echoes of a bleeding that silently tiptoes through our television screen. The sun stole in like a thief to give birth to its own cry. This one is named for the theme. It's called Liberty 2. The sun glinting on the barrel of the gun as we move silently. Footsteps moving to their own graffiti as we exist in a noise racket as some silence imposed. The young man crouching in some unnatural position in the hope that El Piedra might manifest in his sweat and fear. The faces of children fluttering in the breeze as they search for a parent. The terrorists. They used to sell meat and cheese at some market decimated by the form of liberation. The bit of blood flowing through the streets of some disgrace that gets handed down like inheritance. Moments within us. The ghosts of dictators doing their own dance. The corridors where we paint our halls of fame like mirages in the desert. The flickering of the sun on the gun. The nervous soldier and the man made to sweat El Piedra. To justify another's justification. The movements of the boy as he watches the soldiers move in slow motion through the shimmer light that forms through the desert, some liquid mercury that moves within like bleeding, like the cry of forgetting that echoes through the images of Baghdad that play with our hearts on television screens, to be or not to be. My last one is called Catch. Holding within my hand, small birds form to the ever-growing feeling of moments within which I collide with you, moments when we swirl forth in the eternal dance of sunset and dawn, the form to which the thistle dance that fails with the soft breeze of summer intoxication, moving through the constructions I built, seeking, up. The constructions move through themselves. The sun bounces off them as if they were New York. The moving through the chasing games through which we seek our rainbows. A sense of destiny. Moving up towards the silver sliver of moonlight that catches the evening's breath like its own memory. The seeds, definitions and motions. The glimmer of cloud edges and motions towards a realism that moves between itself. That flows to the river bends of an incessant journeying that takes us within the form of it, motioning through the distances between brain and mind, moving within and with around the soft moss tread of the forest of our youth where we try to catch or recapture, try to sense, try to give birth, try to be, to exist, to form. The girl's hand moves to define her song, moves to define the motions of some gather cacophony, directs through each assumption of guilt and each assumption of innocence, that picks through the rubble for a meaning, a definition whereby the rubble is still a town, somehow, the moving truth of searching for a parent, a brother, a sister, the form of the opera of rockets and gunfire that rises through to a concerto of its own necessity, the sense to justify. The opera of gunship and drones, the buzz of searching reasons that pepper the night sky like flat, the motionless bodies that form through sacrifice, sacrifice to a process of reason eternally unreasonable, some making sense of the form of indicative moments when we become who we are, soldiers and children, scattered like pieces from a fallen chessboard, somebody else's game, a game that catches in the breath like cheap cigarettes, there forms of its tears a necessity of guilt in order to become innocent, a form through which projecting images, a silver screen of meanings that oscillate between definition and non-definition, like some dancer, some river that is born out of its leaves to justify itself, justify us, the motions through which searchlights move across the sky like the footsteps of dreamers caught by the dream. The sleepwalking tanks and the noise that forms of it offer to the empires of the senses the motion through which we seek another to cry our own tears. Thank you very much.
I've got a whole bunch of words coming out of it. I've got occidental cure, media radiation, but messages and images, and the cure for the effects of constant messages and images of media radiation, a cure for this occidental power of autosuggestion we keep pummeling into our heads. You know, I think I'm finally getting your poetry. Thank you very much. And anyway, you know, I knew she was coming out, so we'll give it 5 minutes each. Thank you, that would be great. Next up to Mike.
I don't have a title for this one, but it's about getting dumped. What dreams are made of might never find wings. And hopes and dreams, like an invisible bomb, explode into silent nothing. I'm sorry, but I still have feelings for her. I'm so sorry. And then silence, as he drives on, swimming in the compacted impact of his severing words. I sit a short, unfathomable distance away in the passenger seat, shady lady at my feet. She looks at me shyly with the innocence of a dog that understands the overwhelming, the subtle intricacies of overwhelming emotion. She knows better than to sit on my lap. She knows better than to nestle her warmth into mine, for my breaking heart would surely have folded in on itself. And so I allow my fingers to trace the soft hairs in her head, and I breathe. I breathe in love, and I breathe out goodbye. There's nothing for me to say. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't say anything wrong. And then silence, as I drown in the compacted impact of his severing words. My love didn't do anything. My trust didn't say anything. And I think to myself, I must be doing something wrong. And now I'd just like to do a Shakespearean sonnet for you, if that's okay. No more be grieved that that which fell hath done. Roses have thorns and silver fountains mud. Clouds and eclipses stain both moon and sun, and the rose and canker live in sweetest bud. All men make faults, and even I in this, authorizing thy trespasses, compare myself corrupting, salving thy amiss, excusing thy sins more than thy sins are. For to thy sensual faults I bring incense. Thy adverse party is thy advocate, and gainst myself a lawful plea commence. Such civil war is in my love and hate, that I, an accessory need must be, to that sweet peace that sourly loves for me.
That would be the worst night in Cork, really. I'm not advertising this anymore. I'm just getting a bad name of it, really. You're all letting me down. Thanks, Rosie.
Was that sarcasm?
There was a pause.
Even Ryan thanks for singing. Next up we have Mr. George Harding. George, I don't know why. George Harding. George.
George.
my hammock is of Sean Rudon. On Sean Rudon Foster. God knows what a great Irish language poster. That has to wear half constantly sideways, above the great fox hair and that narrow gaze. Those curving eyes pierce me, deep to my soul. Blind, brutal daggers, but that's not all. Those thin, silent lips, that sculpted, toothless jaw, address me none, but I still feel it and to know. That ear has me damned, all of her has me lost. Through great blue sky, I gleaned a golden hanky in the frost. And although the first lines were lost in snow, later on the photo, they let me know. He was dying all his life on Earth on, and he was fucking from TV. TV, King of Fitness. Your office is called The Question, and I can't say it, but The Question and God is an urge. How does it?
Yes.
Death will come this summer quickly. Should I pick flowers before the night? Or should I stand softly in my wish, in the hope of picking them in paradise? Or is that place there as saints tell, after the world has cleared the earth? Is the kiss I missed in my lifetime to be obtained after the dirt? There was a killing in Dublin 2 years ago, and outside at the nightclub called Annabelle. The famous line in the Odyssey called wise father knows his son. And it's called outside Annabelle. Wise was the woman who knew her son, her free spirit larger than life boy, but death stole him sudden as a gun. And blasted on all her consuming joy, a teacher, a leader, who labeled no one. Wise was the woman who knew her son, her naive and far from perfect child was done. What is good is all is there to destroy, but death stole him sudden as a gun. Proud mothers must not lose what they have won, especially the ones they must enjoy. Wise was the woman who knew her son. Wolves show no guilt while powering on their own, sensing that the hungest one is quiet. Then death stole him sudden as a gun. What were Hector's thoughts outside of his cry? No life endures without dreams to one side. Death stole him sudden as a gun. Wise was the woman who knew her son. Thanks.
She's been around in my life. I'm a bit of an old fan, but that's the queen's about. Keep you going, Christina, Christina. Are there any spaces open for his workshop, Pat? You put up. Next up to the open mic, Mr. Finbar on that. Thanks for writing that Paul Chew out of the shit hot there. Alright, this is about this is dedicated to men in general. And the whole mundanity of a man's life. This is called Old.
It's all I've got.
It's called Old Man, who was released yet again to save mankind. Right. Man walks into a bar. Man buys beer. Man chats with woman or man. Man flirts with woman or man. Man gets drugged up the eyeballs. Man ships woman or man. Man makes out with woman or man in the toilet. Man gets stupidly ossified drunk. Man and woman or man go to his or her house Man falls in the bedroom with woman or man. Man and woman or man fight again. Man makes a lot of noise with woman or man. Man wakes up with a horrendous hangover. Man goes into work. Man eats and drinks again. Man, so-called life. I'm going to round off with a couple of haiku, and this one has got my favourite type of music. Headbanging till dawn. Loud sound of heavy metal. Fuck, my neck is sore. Haiku number two, and there we go. It's sort of one of my favourite cities in Ireland, in Belfast. I was just there last week, and I just love it. I'd live there if I could. Anyway, drinking the vodka on the main street of Belfast, I'm getting fucked back. We finally got her up to the mic. It took us all of 5 months. I won't give it too much of a welcome. We haven't heard of Bertie yet. Please welcome Salim McCarney.
I'm very nervous and very sober. This, actually, I grew up in Auckland in 2012, and we were all made to score. I don't know if you know score.
Yeah.
Or no. This is a recitation of slant poetry with no big words and a lot of rhyming words. Anyway, it's called The Date. Well now, I'm not usually the type for telling me stories, but sure, I might as well give it a go. And I'll tell you all who are interested about our recent goal. You see, to use a metaphor, I'd be like Hans, looking for the right and suitable gloves. Fox, I'll tell you no lies, and this mad looking love. Now while studying down in Cork, I came across a handsome man. So, to get to know him better, to see if we click, well, that soon became my plan. So we decided we'd give it a chance, and off we went on our first date. Now, it didn't start too well when I was left breathing outside Reardon, because he was 40 minutes late. He was wearing a bright yellow shirt that was well tight. But you know what? I didn't really care, because I had a date that night. Well, we started the talking and the chatting back and forth. He talked about the south, and I talked about the north. Out of nowhere, he informed me that he was a progressive Democrat. And I immediately thought, if we had a future, I'd soon have to change that. Because some would think that the devil was buried in Killarney, but I'd be under the belief that in the shape of Mary Harney. Now, on a press he found his Guinness and named a drop of Bailey. So I decided it was time to change the chat. Music score in Cayley. Now, he said he preferred rave and music that was rough, and he didn't really care about all the diddly-eyed stuff. So as you can imagine, I was unimpressed. But I soon forgot about it when he complimented me on my dress. Now, girls, it was a lovely dress, I might add. Sure, it was the finest and the cheapest of Kenny Fads. And then things started to look up when he started to talk about sport. And he turned to me and he asked me what football he might support. I looked at him, thrown of course, I excited. No, says he, I mean soccer, because I support Man United. You what? That's a foreign sport, I said. Sure, it's just lame. But he shrugged his shoulders and said he didn't care about the other game. Ah, you must do, I said. Now, I was not amused. And I was getting a wee bit fiery now from drinking all the booze. What about Cork? Sure, you've won All Ireland in the hurling. Says he, I didn't think you'd be into that. Master, don't you support the Queen and use the sterling?
Ah, joke or no joke, I knew this was not fate. A pro-democratic soccer lover, I could never do it. But of course, it was over, and that he was a bore. And that was me, that the no chance he would score. Now, he didn't take too kindly to my word of thanks. So he told me to get back to the north and keep robbing the bank. We had to share a taxi because he was on the way. And wouldn't you know, he jumped out and I ended up having to pay. Well, I'm still looking a man and I'm still wild king. Oh, could you just imagine if I met the great Sean O'Halpin? Well, there you all have it, my recent story of woe. But coming to think of it, if any of you are interested, I'll be sitting in the back row.
By the glamour of a thousand jagged shards of souls, souls out and dispossessed, strained down in pain, drowned, sinuous straining cords, stretched and tossed, parting, leaving space for that gust of sound and that all-enveloping wall of roar. I am starved and empty-eyed, don't wish to hold back, scream it all out, yell and curse it as loud as it hurts, be fury, be rage, breathe, and rage some more. Jump and grab, catch a bit of free that flies over the heads of a crowd. Claw, hands grasping, fight for it, kill for it, lose everything for it, anything to set yourself free. I need a rhythm, a beat, a heart to breathe to speak to walk to, be to. Need to take some steps back but don't want to. Need to start again but don't know how to. Need to find myself but don't know who I am. And I've got a small Valentine's poem. Because I'm a florist and Valentine's makes big impact when you make thousands and thousands of those things and you go home to nothing. Okay, so just a little bit. It's cool, I'm well used to it now. Fine. Love is like a red, red rose that comes in groups of 12. I made a second ton of them and still on the shelf. I wrote a load of love notes, gave kisses out for free, but at the end of all the work, there was still nothing for me.
Thank you, Joe. All the suicide addicts are going. Thank you, Joe. Right, three people left on the mic, and then we're all going to head off to the usual spot.
I'm
not
there.
Next up.
The manager does not like me there.
try anyone go flying off the rooftop now with Wax and so on and so except the other mic. Also first time to avail. Welcome for Mike O'Brien.
As I said last night, I dreamt of our conversation and then about the age. Now I must admit I thought his inclusion was rather strange, for I never really liked his work. Too depressing or simply talk of depressing times. Nonetheless, we discussed history, recalling his story of exodus and movement of the people. And it made me think quite about the first story, in the City of Angels, warm yet cold, unfriendly to the touch, passionless to a passionate soul. So he cast that anchor, stepped those sails, and took a journey into discovery. You are no more crowned than a halo of your own morality. Okay, I've lost it. Lost for lack of it. If you don't mind, I'll write it and then I'll say it afterwards. Modern Irish from two living poets, Gabriel Rosenstock and Louis the Player, and they're both poems about their daughters as it happened. Gabriel Rosenstock's poem.
Did you translate them yourself?
I did, yeah. They're right, I wouldn't trust anybody else. Gabriel Rosenstock gets a poem about his daughter that she woke him up in the middle of the night, brought him down to look at television in those days, and television didn't go on right through the night, and all she could see was sort of fuzz on the TV, so that's what goes. So I call it a telling vision. 5 o'clock in the morning, and it wasn't just another sleepless night. She had been colourlessly waking furiously by an arguable young 2.5-year-old. We went, holding on so tight, down to the cold room, me undressed, she fully kempt. Maybe I had been foolish, for she never mentioned anything at all. The stars still before the dawning, as the light of the TV. Outside, no cock was crowing, yet. Here the screen showed a fuzzy, crystal gale. Happy now, I said. She saw a giraffe in the glow, and arctic owls looping loops in the lushy snow. And the second one is called Grammar, by Louis the Player, and of course Irish scholars are mad about grammar. It's got screwed up our minds all the time. But again, it's about his daughter hearing her speak before she knew anything really about language. Well, that's the best way to do it, anyway. You haven't learned to talk yet, and it doesn't bother you one whit. The verbs amuse and raise your spirit, while the imperative mood moves you to fun and love and even wit. Wake up, sleep, do, be, eat. Your jargon you have learned by heart, these orb babblings of a gnat, which linguists swallow just like that. Grin, grimace, groan, grunt, fart, scream, shout, yawn, blip, blast, universal meaning without clap, trap. Fortunately, you bring up the rear in the league table of doctors, seers, child-wise psycho-heads who know the score, and worry worse than that, they fear that you will master, command, and conquer every rule and twist of grammar. Maybe you don't have no function. Is what you say worth even a mention? Would you know an extreme conjunction from ands and ifs and buts and such and laughing bursts of punctuation through tears of perfect declensations? Grammar that skeletal, pedantic, bony art by which sound and sense do live apart.